The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. We are, of course, preparing for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Wednesday night, and it is a Jewish Hour tradition to have This Year in Review. And we're going to be featuring the Jewish News' own Arthur Horowitz, very charismatic and dynamic person, is going to be talking about, well, what happened this year? Was it a good year for the Jews is always the question. We have lots of wonderful music. We'll be talking, of course, Rosh Hashanah. The portion of the week is the portion of Hazinu, but it gets overshadowed by the 2 days before it, so we're not going to mention Hazinu. But if you'd like to look at Hazinu, I strongly suggest it. It's chapter 32 of the book of Deuteronomy. It's a very nice song. And, of course, we have a very dynamic and inspirational song. Closing story. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. IDF forces killed 3 rioters and injured 19 others in northern Jerusalem. The soldiers came under attack by a mob of Arabs. In response, the PA broke off peace talks this week that were ongoing with Israel. Hezbollah declared a state of alert and began sending troops to the Lebanon-southern border with Israel, and the possibility that Israel might strike Syria. Iran, Hezbollah's top ally, sent warnings over a possible strike against Syria. The Washington Post reports, in what's been referred to as the black budget, that since 9/11, the U.S. has spent heavily on counterintelligence on Israel, one of the U.S.'s greatest allies. The report, part of the documents leaked by Eric Snowden, shows that the U.S. does not trust Israel in matters of national security. Israel began giving out gas masks after the chemical attacks in Syria. 40% of Israelis, though, do not have masks because of budget cuts. The Israeli government is working to fix the problem. The war in Syria is to blame for rising gas prices in Israel. Uncertainty in the Middle East and the possibility of oil shortages caused gas to rise to $8.50 a gallon, if you do all the exchanges, a record price for gas in Israel. Israel is deporting more, this is other news now, that's something to do with Syria. Israel is deporting more than 50,000 migrants from Israel is deporting more than 50,000 migrants from Eritrea and Sudan back to Africa via Uganda. Israel considers most of the Africans as illegals in search of jobs, and not that many fled their countries in search of political asylum. The last plane of Ethiopian Jews arrived in Israel this week. There are still about 5,000 more Ethiopians who applied for Aliyah, but the Jewish agency decided in 2005 to give the Ethiopians until the summer of 2013 to move back to Israel. And finally, in the sport, Yarden Jerby, remember that name, became the first Israeli to win a gold medal at the Judo World Championships in Rio de Janeiro. recording ippons, which is judo's version of a knockout, in all five of her fights. The 24-year-old entered the competition as the world number one in the under 63-kilo competition. She beat her opponent in the finals in just 43 seconds. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Why go anywhere else when you could go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of kosher wines in Michigan. One Stop Kosher has the freshest produce, the best dairy, deli, and meats. They're gourmet. They even have a kosher bakery right on the premise. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. One Stop is having a special Rosh Hashanah wine tasting tonight between 5 and 8 p.m. and tomorrow between 12 and 7 p.m. Come and taste. They've got the biggest collection of kosher wines in the region, and there you can sample a whole bunch of them tomorrow, today and tomorrow. So go check it out, One Stop on Greenfield Road at 696. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are on live with Arthur Horowitz, the publisher of the Detroit Jewish News. How are you today, Arthur?
I am fine, Rabbi. Good morning, and happy, healthy New Year to you and all of your listeners.
Thank you to you and yours as well. There's a story that in 1956, a kid comes running into his Zeta, who's an immigrant from the old country, and he says, Zeta, guess what? The Dodgers just won the pennant. And his grandfather looks at him and says, I don't have a clue what you just said, but if it's good for the Jews, I'm very happy. So,
Well, it was good for Brooklyn, that's for sure.
Yeah, indeed. So the question then becomes, Arthur Horowitz, that overall, when we get done with the interview, is, was the year 5773, the year that we're ending, was it good for the Jews? Let's talk about some of the major things that happened. We'll start with first Israel, then go to, like, say, some maybe international stuff, and then end off with Detroit and what's happening in Jewish Detroit over here. So major stories affecting Israel this year, Arthur Horowitz?
Well, how can one not look at Israel and look at the neighborhood it resides in and see this past year how much more dangerous that neighborhood has become? And my guess is if we had this conversation a year ago, we probably would have thought that Israel was in a dangerous neighborhood, and it couldn't become more dangerous. Unfortunately, I think it is more dangerous, and I couldn't help but think, as I see the current bloodbath that's taking place throughout a large swatch of the Middle East and the Sunni Shia battles, to me, when I look at Israel, I almost think of these rival gangs that are battling it out all around my property. And if I'm Israel, I'm like the guy sitting on the front porch with my shotgun and saying, you know what, just keep off of my property. Not a great analogy, but certainly when we look at Israel and we look at the year that we are just concluding, when you thought it couldn't get any more dangerous, especially with Iran and its nuclear program and ambitions, lo and behold, it looks like, from Israel's point of view, it's become even more dangerous. And that being said, life goes on in Israel. It continues to thrive as a democracy, as an economic and entrepreneurial powerhouse, as a place where I must share with you readers that earlier this month my daughter made Aliyah and is now a citizen of Israel. So as proud parent, parents, you know, we are also recognizing that life goes on and that life will go on, God willing, in Israel. And hopefully this year it won't get any worse than this year, and that next year, if we're talking, we'll actually be able to say something less dangerous has happened in that part of the world.
Yeah, well, congratulations on your daughter's Aliyah. It must be it's bittersweet because on one hand she's moving to Israel, but on the other hand she's like moving out of your house and moving to Israel.
Right, and she will be in the Lone Soldier program, so in November she'll be drafted into the Israel Defense Forces for at least a 2-year stint.
Wow, that's really tough. You'll have really what to pray for, I gather. So, but as you mentioned, all in all, it says Aliyah is up, emigration is up, people are moving to Israel, Nefesh B'Nefesh is hardly keeping up with the demand of the people who say we want to stop what we're doing here and out here in the world and move to Israel. So it seems like Israel, which isn't surprising, is a living dichotomy then, Arthur Horowitz.
Yes, it is. Look, on the one hand, it's an oasis. And again, not that it doesn't have its own internal issues, and it's always had them, and it will continue to have them. But in many ways, you know, life has to go on. I think we as Jews know that and understand that. And despite the dangerous neighborhood, the more dangerous neighborhood that Israel inhabits, life does go on there, and it goes on here, and Israel and its survival and its focal point for so many of us must continue.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a second about the relationship between Israel and the European Union. President Netanyahu earlier this month said that if the EU is going to boycott goods made in the West Bank, then Israel wasn't going to start any type of new contracts and sell things that the EU wants from Israel. Here's this like turn of events over here where Israel is saying, well, if you're going to boycott us, we have the upper hand. We can boycott you now. Could you comment on that, Arthur Horowitz?
Right. Well, I guess one could say that it wasn't that long ago that Israel was knocking on the door, wanting very much to be a full trading partner in the economic union, and I think it both says something about the value of what Israel exports, as well as the just ongoing, it's almost knee-jerk. Campaign reaction against Israel. And again, in perspective, when you think about all of what is going on in the world right now as we speak, are you trying to say to me that what Israel is doing, whether in reality, perceived, et cetera, is the ultimate thing that should require boycotts and separation when in so many cases there are countries that are certifiably nuts and certifiably against the interests of Europe and the countries in Europe and the West who are still embraced and handheld, et cetera. So it's nice to hear that Israel can say, well, we're not going to send stuff to you. And at the same hand, it's just something I think we're all, unfortunately, accustomed to, never will accept, but accustomed to, which is, why are you singling Israel out when there is so much bad behavior, true bad behavior going on in the world?
Mm-hmm. That's why, since we're moved to Europe and the relationship with Israel and Europe, anti-Semitism, no surprise, is for like the umpteenth time is on the rise this year over last year in Europe. And there's been all kinds of incidences, especially in Sweden and Poland. The official constitution outlawed shechita, the ritual slaughter. So what would you say with an overview of the prognosis, Judaism in Europe, Arthur Horowitz?
Oh, boy. Well, on the one hand, I guess if I'm the Anti-Defamation League, I know that I'm still going to be in business for the next 100 years if these trends continue. It's celebrating its 100th anniversary. And again, when you think that perhaps the page is being turned or can be turned so that some of the ugliness that's been baked in to a lot of these countries and their societies and cultures would maybe move on to other things aside from pointing fingers at Jews. But unfortunately, I think what we see in Europe, we see it in the former Soviet Union. There are a lot of classic situations where scapegoating and the like are on the rise, and unfortunately, we as a people tend to be disproportionately targeted for that. It's upsetting, having a mother who's a Holocaust survivor. I feel that in a particularly acute way. And yet again, it's just the kind of thing that I think helps us, or ought to help us as a Jewish community, remember and recognize that while we have within our Jewish community, our differences of opinion on certain things, that we have to remain focused on the fact that whatever those differences of opinion may be, they pale in compared to the uniform scapegoating and anti-Semitism that has been out there and continues despite hopes and hard work of a lot of people and organizations that it can be tamped down and hopefully eliminated.
Yeah, I've often said that I think every Jew should pick themselves up from England to Vladivostok and move. That has always been my opinion. I saw a statistic, interestingly, this morning, that in dealing with the Polish ban on ritual slaughter, that 26% of Poland's exports is kosher meat. And that even though it may be some kind of a law and they're trying to do whatever they do, but there's an old expression as money talks, and that there's no way that ritual slaughter is ever going to be banned in Poland. What do you think, Arthur Horowitz?
Oy, well, how's that? Oy, I would hope not for all the obvious reasons, and I have to say I think when it comes to some countries like Poland, there are younger people, younger generations that are more interested in, the deep, rich Jewish history, culture that were a part of Poland. And I come across people from time to time who are Polish, who are in their 20s and their 30s. And the hope that I have, and again, it may be misplaced, is that as their generation or generations move into the typical positions of power, influence, etc., that some of the stuff that's still a holdover of post-World War II, a holdover from the communist era, certain other holdover things, just kind of get broomed, because I do see, in spite of these things such as the ritual slaughter situation, I do see progressive strains in Poland, and not surprisingly, it tends to be among younger people.
Unfortunately, yes. Okay, let's move on. Let's get a little closer to home. Stories that might be outstanding in your mind and your memory from this last past year that happened of a national interest, Arthur Horowitz?
Well, really, there are a couple that jump out. One, of course, is the re-election of President Obama. To the extent that in 2008 his election was seen as a defining moment for a person of color to be elected President of the United States, and as is typically the case with a significant percentage, somewhere north of, I think, 75% of the Jewish community claimed to have voted for him, and for him to be reelected in 2012. But I think as relates to the Jewish community, one of the more significant things was his visit shortly shortly after his reelection to Israel, almost like resetting the relationship with the Israeli public, because I think he had a difficult time and said and did certain things that he recognized needed to be dealt with in this past year. I think he certainly substance will matter more than perception. But I think he was able to reestablish himself personally as somebody who does care fundamentally about Israel and its survival. And God knows, with that neighborhood and with Iran continuing in the background, getting closer every day to nuclear capability, it certainly helps. God willing, to have a president, if it ever comes to it, who is thinking more than geopolitics when it comes to Israel. But another thing, too, which is both national and local, Rabbi, I don't think it should be overlooked, is Carl Levin's decision to announce that he is not going to be seeking another term in the U.S. Senate in 2014. Because in many ways, if you want to tie a person to what's going on in the world, what's going on in our nation's capital, and who is really, you know, from the first family of public service in the Detroit area, it's Carl Levin. And I don't think he'll ever be replaceable. Not that there won't be somebody else coming along who won't have the intelligence or who won't have the, you know, the unique interpersonal skills that he has, but just that unique combination and really coming from an era where families sat around the dinner table and talked politics and talked about how and what they can do to try to, you know, make this a more perfect union in terms of our country. And I think it would be an oversight, which I don't intend to do, when you talk about national, to also say that this past year, Carl Levin. And then really the last thing,
Let me interrupt you, Reg. Arthur, let me interrupt you before we press into the next thing. Is it looks like the front runner at this point in that race is Gary Peters. It's actually basically they're saying it's Gary Peters to lose. How do you think he'll be as a fill-in for Carl Levin in relation to what we're talking about here?
My sense is, assuming Gary gets the Democratic nomination, which he's expected to, and polls at this point would suggest that he has a more than even chance of being the next U.S. senator from Michigan. Gary, I think, has, during his time as a congressman, certainly established himself as somebody with impeccable credentials when it comes to the Jewish community, both as it relates to Israel, but also the various social service needs that we have in our community that go across the board. So I think in general, Gary Peters is known, and if somebody looks at his voting record as it relates to Israel, they will find, I believe, that he has a very strong record. And while they might disagree with some of his positions on various domestic issues and policies, et cetera, I think when it comes to knowing the Jewish community, I mean, this is a guy who's probably shaken tens of thousands of hands literally in the Jewish community at every level, from Orthodox to non-affiliated, from one side of his district to the other. So I think if he were to be elected, he certainly is somebody who's known by the Jewish community. And regardless of where somebody might be on the political spectrum, I think they understand that he knows our community really well and understands it.
Cool. Okay, and the other story you're going to mention in national importance?
Oh, other story of national importance, the hurricane. that hit the eastern seaboard. Sandy. And, let's face it, New York is the epicenter for a lot of things, and certainly outside of Israel is the epicenter of Jewish life. And so much of Jewish life and institutions and infrastructure were disrupted by that hurricane. So again, God willing, next year we won't be talking about these killer hurricanes. That being said, I think that it was just a very unusual natural event, and it just so happened to have as a bullseye parts of New York where a substantial portion of our community resides.
It seemed that what impressed me with Hurricane Sandy is the fact that there was such an outpouring of humanity from all over the place, and that pretty much people behaved themselves. You didn't hear looting going on, people taking advantage of people. That was all off to the side, and it seemed like people really did good, as my grandmother would say.
Yes.
Okay, let's move closer to home, Detroit. What kind of wonderful things are happened in Detroit in the year 5773, Arthur Horowitz?
Boy, well, again, we know the things that weren't so great that happened in Detroit as this year comes to a close. Just when you thought it couldn't get worse. I mean, it's almost like talking about the Middle East. Just when you think it can't get worse, it does. When it comes to Detroit, and the city of Detroit, which is still the hub of this whole region, just when you think it can't get any worse, it does. And hopefully one of the stories of this year that's coming to a close will be that, yes, Detroit actually did hit bottom. With an emergency manager, with Chapter 9, and other things, that it is actually moving in the right direction, and perhaps the next mayor who's elected, whether it's Benny Napoleon or Mike Duggan, will be able to continue to move the city in a positive direction. It's important for us as a Jewish community because as the city goes, as the region goes, so goes our Jewish community. But certainly one of the bright spots as it relates to our community in Detroit is what's been happening in the city in what people are now starting to call Gilbertville, which okay. is the geographic area around Campus Martius that's starting to move toward Greektown
and
Broadway from the riverfront up to New Center with where Woodward Avenue is kind of the artery that feeds it all. And the good news in all of that is while certainly Dan Gilbert can't do that alone and his associates can't do it alone, and certainly the Jewish community cannot look at Dan Gilbert as its proxy and saying, well, as long as Dan Gilbert is doing that kind of stuff, the Jewish community doesn't need to care about, be involved in the growth, turnaround of the city of Detroit. It's going to require more than Dan Gilbert. And part of what I think he and his folks are doing is almost creating a beachhead for a new opportunity for our Jewish community to keep young people, bring them back. And it isn't just whether they want to live downtown. If they live in Royal Oak or they live in Huntington Woods or they live in Oak Park or wherever it is, having a vibrant or a more vibrant hub is attractive for young people, and we know that if we do nothing, our community, the demographics of our Detroit Jewish community, will continue to lead to a smaller population and a much higher proportion being 65 years of age and older. So to the extent that this brings young people, keeps them here, they start their families here, then hopefully maybe 3, 5, 7 years down the road, we'll start to see a real measurable uptick. And history shows, by the way, in our community, because we've been complaining about a declining Jewish community population-wise for the past 70 years, and yet at various points along the way, there are these upticks, and hopefully we're seeing or we're at the beginning of the next demographic uptick that maybe we'll really feel in a tangible way starting in a few years.
Okay. Now, so Arthur Horowitz, publisher of the Detroit Jewish News, the question that I asked at the beginning, 5773, if you were to give it a letter grade, A being like, the grade that you want it to get and F being the grade you don't want it to get, what grade would you give 5773? as far as the Jewish the Judaism in general?
I always got incompletes on my Hebrew report card. You didn't offer that as an option. I would say that incomplete would be the easy out for putting a letter grade on it, because there's so much work in progress. I'd say on to be an optimist, it's probably a B minus, because there is and there are signs and continue to be signs of Jewish vibrancy, of Jewish reinvention, of commitment, both religiously, culturally. Israel, as we talked about earlier, in spite of its challenges and its hostile neighbors, continues to move forward in ways that I think many of us remain in awe of. But that being said, if we look on it at a global scale, I hope this coming year will be a better year both for Israel, for the safety of the Jewish community, and here in Detroit, that it'll continue to be a place where we're not only taking care of our community, which we've done historically very well in Detroit, but that we're continuing to contribute to the hopefully the rebirth of a city and a region that's been home to so many of us and has been so good to us. And we, in turn, have been good to it for so many generations. So I'd say incomplete is the easy answer. Maybe a B or B minus. If you really put me to it as an optimist, I'd love to be a letter A optimist. But hopefully next year, when we're doing this, and if you're kind enough to ask me, that I'll have an improvement on that grade on the report card.
Okay, it's interesting. The last 3 years, the year has gotten a B minus on our year in review. So, okay, we're keeping in track. So we want to thank you very much. We wish you a ksiva v'chasima teva l'shona tova v'masukas. You should be written and inscribed in the Book of Life for a happy and healthy new year, and we should hear all things good, Arthur Horowitz.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you, Rabbi, and also to your listeners, and Lashana Tova, and hopefully that letter grade will go up next year.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Chiropractic Healthcare offers patients the advantage of a safe and natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. People of all ages, including children, benefit from chiropractic's unique approach to health. Call area code 248-557-1818 today to find out how chiropractic can benefit your family. At the Solomon Chiropractic Center, we especially love children. All kids should have their spines checked periodically throughout their crucial growing years. Growth on a crooked foundation will create a crooked spine and become harder to correct later in life. Kids love to get adjusted at the Solomon Chiropractic Center. And hey, moms, did you know that chiropractic offers a safe, drug-free approach to helping with the many pains women often get during and after pregnancy? We even have special tables which open up so pregnant women can lay on their stomachs. We treat moms, dads, children, and grandparents with arthritic pains, neck pains, back pain, and headaches. People of all ages, including kids, benefit from chiropractic. Come experience the natural method of healing without the use of drugs or surgery. Stop living in pain. Call area code 248-557-1818 today for a free consultation at the Solomon Chiropractic Center to discuss you and your family's health needs. Remember, 557-1818. That's 557-HI-HI.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for some music. This is Lipa. The song is called Shabbos, and I like it, so I'm playing it for you. Thank you.
Schabes, als es greit, ist die Bschein alles klappt. Der Tate läuft in Schiel, am Mikwelle gehabt. Der Hasen ist schön du, lechiner Rameno. Beim Davener nach jeder Basant ist. Bald noch ein Davener, aheim sich jeder geht. Sucht noch ein Teurele, find mal noch immer wer begleit. Scheine slacht de gas, socken schwarz in was, stieflich spottig stramlich jeder Saale wisch.
Noch ein Schabes vor mir helle sein, noch ein Schabes in mir geilen Heim, weil der Gemüde war stehen, auf Mashiach schon kein, wenn wir hit noch auf ein Schabes heute stelle.
Barbieren mit Sofa-Lugem Noch ein Siede-Ageläuf In Schielen-Rebenshäuf Einer lernt, einer singt Geächs auf Neuem Beim Schachres-Davenen Keil Uten singt der Kuhl Noch ein Missef-Schrei Der Schammes akidisch beim Mechul Noch ein Siede-Aspazier Denn noch er läuft den Schiel zum Schier Im Baschalisch Siedes Wenn da nicht roch nicht
Some things are better the way they used to be, like the crisp feel of a cool autumn day, the serenity of a baby sleeping, or the feeling of coming home after a long trip. Franklin Cider Mills makes cider the way cider is supposed to be. Its old-fashioned, clear, crisp taste reminds you of a cool autumn day. Located in the heart of historic Franklin Village at 14 Mile and Franklin Road, Franklin Cider Mill has been making cider the same way for over a century. Always fresh, with no additives or preservatives. You just can't buy Franklin Cider in any supermarket. Franklin Cider Mill is open from Labor Day weekend to after Thanksgiving from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Come visit Franklin Cider Mill. It's kind of like coming home.
Hey, Herschel Vinman here. We want to welcome back Franklin Cider as a seasonal sponsor. I wish it wasn't seasonal, but apples only grow at a certain time during the year, and he only uses fresh apples. They started... Today's basically the first weekend. This first day goes till the Sunday after Thanksgiving. And you can expect a line today and tomorrow, yeah, but it's definitely worth it because, you know, like the Finman children say, everything else is just juice. We've got some more music for you. This coming up is Shlomo Carl Bach. This is classic Shlomo Carl Bach. This is taken off a Shlomo Carl Bach live album. This is called Im Emanuel Chai. And we're just going to listen in for you.
Thank you. Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Listening to the Jewish Hour. We got time for one more song. And that's, this is Yonason Schwartz. And the song, the track is called A Guten Niggin. It's for by Yom Kippur. Let's listen to it.
Zit schieven, zit stukken, zit vullen.
or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Vimen here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is Rosh Hashanah. Yesterday, Saturday, was the 25th day of Elul. That was the day that 5,774 years ago, the Almighty said, "Let there be light." And if that be the case, then how come Rosh Hashanah wasn't yesterday? It's the beginning of the creation, after all. Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, which is, if you figure it out, the sixth day of creation, is the day that God made Adam. And there lies the answer to your question, because God didn't make the world for light. God didn't make the world for space. God did not make the world for dry land or plants or bugs or animals or anything else. God made the world for man. And so therefore we look and we call, one of the nicknames for Rosh Hashanah is the birthday of the world. This is the day that we reach, that the creation reaches its potential. It actualizes its potential. There's a similar discussion in the Ethics of Our Fathers. It says that the world was created with 10 utterances. If you look in the book of Genesis at the beginning, there are 10 times that God says, "Let there be." Let there be light, let there be a firmament, etc. And so let's make man. 10 of them. And then there's a supposition is made. Oh, but God could have done it in one. But he didn't, and we're not going to go into it because we're not talking about Pirkei Avot. What would the one have been? The one would have been, in the beginning, God created a heaven and the earth, which is considered the first one, the precursor to it. Because in that statement, in the beginning, God created a heaven and the earth, you have everything there already. Problem is, at that point, it was only in potential. The Almighty made this physical world. It's called in the Kabbalah, the world of action. Potentials are good, but this is the world of action. There's an expression in the Talmud, talk is cheap, but action's what count. And so now, when this final week, when we are preparing for Rosh Hashanah, what is it that we have to show the Almighty? We have to show our actions. We've been talking about before, it's a time for increasing in all of our aspects in a service to God. And we'll talk about this when we come back and include it in the Hasidic story. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? RabbiFinman.com. You'll find their archive editions of the show, the Hasidic U story, the U Parsha, the E Parsha, all of these ways in which information in an entertaining way is conveyed from me to you. You'll also find, very important, the donations page. We talk about it every week. It's the beginning of the month. We're starting all over again, folks. We need your help. Do it before Rosh Hashanah, because one of the things you have to prepare for Rosh Hashanah is you have to make sure that you've given your 10% away to charity. The year ends on Wednesday, basically, so do it today. We want to get into the Hasidic story. The Belzer Rebbe, about 100 years or so, was traveling in the city of Belz. Oh, my shtetl of Belz. It was, like last night we began saying, slichas, penitential prayers in the middle of the night. It starts at midnight, and instead of, when he got into his coach to go to the synagogue, instead of going to the synagogue, he told his driver to go drive into the woods. And they're driving into the woods, and he stopped at a house. He got out, and he saw this young man, a middle-aged man. He was sitting at a table. He looked at his Rebbe's looking in the window. He saw him saying something, and he had a bottle of vodka on the table. He said a l'chaim with one l'chaim, and then went to the other chair, and then said a l'chaim and drank the other glass of vodka. And he repeated this two more times, and then he got up and he danced, and the rabbi left. He came an hour late for the prayers. The congregation was waiting, and in the middle of the prayers, the rabbi called over his attendant and said, there's going to be a man going to be walking in the synagogue late. Tell him to come to my office as soon as he's done with his prayers. The man came a half hour late. He was totally flabbergasted. How am I? What is he doing standing in front of the Rebbe? The man said to him, what was the meaning of the l'chaim that you were saying, the alcohol that you were drinking before you came here? So the man was totally perplexed. How does the Rebbe know? But he said, listen, Rebbe, 6 months ago, my wife died last year. I have no children. I have just a few animals. My cow died. And I got really mad at God, and I told him, I'm not going to synagogue anymore. And then my goat died, and I got even more mad at God, and I told him, I'm not doing the daily prayers anymore. And then my chickens died, and I said, that's it, God. I'm not going to keep Shabbos anymore. But then tonight came, and I said, the Rebbe's doing the slichas, the penitential prayers. How can I not go? But I already made this vow that I'm not going to, that me and God, I'm mad at him. But then I remembered, I had a fight once with my friend, Shmuel the Butcher. And what did he do? He came over to my house one day. We sat down with a glass of vodka, and we became friends again. So I said to the Almighty, listen, God, I know things have been really tough. You haven't been treating me so good, but maybe I haven't been treating you so good either. So I said, let's say a l'chaim, let bygones be bygones, let's be friends. And I drank mine, but, you know, you can't waste food, so I drank God's too. I said, he wouldn't want me to pour it out. And then afterwards, we had a nice dance together, and I came to shul. So the Rebbe then said to him, you should know that there was a terrible decree against our town, and it looked really serious. And what was the problem? People were praying, but they weren't feeling it. You were talking to God like your best buddy. It averted the decree. So that's what we got to do this week. Talk to God like he's your best buddy. We got to back out. Thank you so much. We hope a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a ksiva v'chasima teiva, a happy and a healthy new year, and we'll see you again, back again next week. Take care.